Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Providence Journal's College Basketball Podcast. This is Bill Koch, sports writer for the Journal, from my Warwick home on a Friday afternoon. This is a special Rivalry Week edition of the pod. Providence URI men, Brown Bryant men, everyone else, sorry, you're out of this one. Joined as usual by my co-conspirator, the sports director at ABC6, the weekend co-host of Cordishy and Coit, on WEI Providence, Nick Coit, ladies and gentlemen. Coity, how we living?
Let's keep it civil, Bill. All right, let's keep it civil. It's rivalry weekend. Nah, the heck with that. It's rivalry weekend.
For the record, Coit and I didn't go to any of these four schools, so we don't really care who wins.
No clearly. Bias. No bias.
None whatsoever. You won't find that here.
Yeah.
The URI fans think I love PC. The PC fans think I love URI. That either means you're both right or you're both wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I got connections to everywhere. So it's whatever. Yeah. It is what it is.
I wear black because I got way to lose, not because I like the Friars or like the team wearing black on a given night. So miss me with that nonsense too while you're at it.
I mean, I am technically on the Brown broadcast television crew tonight for Brown and Bryant, but
you're compromised.
I totally compromised. Yeah, that's totally me. I might have to pull a Kirk Herbstreit on the prediction, but you know,
Brown, we'll talk about it. Brown could bribe me with those cookies and get me to do a few things. I'll tell you that. And for anyone who's seen me lately, you know, I don't skip those. We don't do that.
Time of the year, pal.
Oh, they're delicious. So here we go, Coit. Rivalry week. And, you know, in the men's game, we started off with a few women's games already have been played. You know, we've seen Providence Brown women. We've seen URI Brown women. We've seen Brown Bryant women to this point. You know, and those as well had a special feel to them. And I still think, you know, as someone who I will admit I'm a traditionalist, you know, grew up watching URI PC. For years and years, you know, I always felt like it was a circle, the date on the calendar type of occasion in the state. I think attendance over the years has shown you that. I think, you know, the venom that we see in our emails or social media mentions at times, I think shows you that. The message boards show you that. You know, fans talk about these games a different way. They just do. And, you know, folks who want to downplay it, they're just not paying attention. And in that respect, I'm thrilled that Brown and Bryant have carved out their own place on the calendar for this game. It was great foresight by Jared Grasso and Mike Martin, and now Phil Martelli and Mike Martin, to play their game the Friday night before Providence and URI lock up on the first Saturday in December. It was really smart marketing on their behalf to get themselves their own unique individual platform for their game.
Amen. And make it a rivalry weekend. And, you know, Mike Martin said as such, like it made total sense. Like they know that PC and URI are going to play Saturday. So let's schedule for Friday and let's make this a whole deal for the whole weekend. And it's great. It's great because they've now developed their own rivalry. It's got its own significance to mid-major programs that are very healthy, that are very competitive, that are competing near the top of their league now. It's nothing but great for a state that really embraces college basketball, that loves the sport. Why wouldn't you do this? And again, it's great. You're developing your own sort of thing, your own sort of history. You know, I love that the last two games that they've played post COVID here, the road team has won. You know, Bryant went into the Pizzatola Center 2 years ago and popped them. Brown went to the Chase Center last year and popped them. Like that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And a game like this makes both teams better. It's an intense, emotional atmosphere, brings out the best in you. Why wouldn't you want to play this game? I love it.
Yeah, Brian is picked third in the America East. Brown's picked fourth in the Ivy League. Two teams who are expected to compete in their respective leagues. And in that sense, you want to see each other. You want to pull the best out of each other. You mentioned the last two matchups, Coity. Bryant winning at Brown 65-59, a game where they trailed by seven midway through the second half and ultimately had enough down the stretch. Last year, Brown coming out and punching Bryant right in the nose in the first half, played 20 of the best minutes of basketball that they played all year, 72-60 at the Chase in front of a wild sellout crowd that night in Smithfield. For Brown to go in and play that well in that environment, I thought was really impressive. Really chippy, edgy performance. Mike Martin after in the press conference, and remember, there are still four teams in this state. You know, clearly a reference to you or I making recent NCAA tournaments and Providence on their NCAA run and Bryant breaking through and going to the NCAA tournament for the first time. And Mike Martin making the very clear point, hey, don't forget about us. We care about winning too. We want to be a competitive team and be talked about among the four. And they made their case the best way they could on the court.
He couldn't have been referencing any certain local podcasts talking about them too, right?
I mean, you know, why would he waste his precious time? You know, Mike is a family man, father of three. You know, his daughters are all over the place in athletics and whatever else. Why would he waste his time listening to a couple of dummies like us?
I don't know. But maybe he did. That certain instance, that certain week. Who knows?
If he does, or if TJ Sorrentine is associate head coach, if he happens to, thank you guys very much. We appreciate it. We did not mean to become locker room fodder for your team, you know, but we'll take an assist on that one if we did help you beat Brian last year in some way.
Well, I do know that TJ listens on Saturday mornings to that show because he chimes in all the time on the conversation, but that's a different sort of format and conversation. Go figure.
Of course. You know, we'd like to think that Phil Martelli will be listening to this as well at some point. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We don't know if anyone's listening at all. No idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What we do know is that Friday is, you know, I think the Classic is an appetizer. Doesn't do it justice. It's its own unique game. It's its own unique flavor. And I think you got two teams this year, Coit, Bryant, you know, looking to play a game closer to home against a non-power team. It's a great opportunity for them in that way with their schedule being so tough. And Brown just looking to get on its feet here a little bit, off to a 2-6 start. They're 1-2 in the Bahamas over Thanksgiving. They haven't played their best basketball yet. You know, they've shown flashes of it against Colgate and against USC, but haven't necessarily put it all together yet. Bryant has the best win out of the two at Florida Atlantic. They woke up the beast in the Owls because they've done nothing but win since then. You know, Bryant clipping them when they were in the top 10. Holding them to 5-for-30 from three-point range. The final four darlings from last year, Bryant going down to Boca Raton and stunning them. You know, that's one of the biggest upsets in college basketball anywhere to date so far in the season. So Bryant won't be worried about going to Brown. You know, they've played in tougher environments to this point. They've played against more pedigree teams to this point. But rivalry games, as we talk about all the time, they're the great equalizer. And Brown's not going to care one bit that Bryant beat Florida Atlantic, and they're not going to care one bit that they're 2-6 so far. They're going to look at this as an opportunity to turn the page and really get their season started.
Yeah, this would be huge. And I think last year, the way that Brown played in Smithfield, you said edge, I think swagger. There was just a toughness to them last year that you were like, ooh, like I'd never seen Pax and Wojcik, you know, play the way he's played some great games, when he was in a Brown uniform, but the way that he was just, you know, yelling toward the crowd and everything like that, like into the environment, I was like, ooh. And it wasn't just him, even a little emotion out of Keno Lilly Jr., who is such an even keeled kid. Mm. There was emotion there. And so these environments can do that kind of thing. And so I'm really interested to see how it looks for both teams. But particularly, I thought that showed us last year a side of Brown that we hadn't seen. And it really, I think, kickstarted them, you know, in terms of their season last year.
Yeah, they really tapped into something that night. And, you know, as you mentioned, they got a few guys who were on the court that night, a couple other guys who were on the bench for that one. Keno Lilly Jr., Kalu Anya, Aaron Cooley, they all started that game. Malachi Nadur started that game. Nana Owusu-Anane was dealing with an injury, did not play, which makes it all the more impressive that Brown was able to go to Bryant, a team that had Earl Timberlake and had Charles Pride, who's departed since then, gone to St. Bonaventure. They had Sharif Gross-Bullock starting. Doug Eddard started that game. Miles Latimer came off the bench. Tyler Brailsford came off the bench. These are all guys who you're going to see on Friday night. They're all familiar with what this is and what it's about. Quite, you look at Brown, and obviously they've had turnover issues early. They've had struggles finding production from the two and three spots offensively. You know, I think they haven't necessarily found their mix quite yet. I look at Bryant is maybe a little bit ahead of them in that way. You know that it's going to be Sharif Gross-Bullock and Earl Timberlake driving the bus most nights. Tyler Brailsford is really broken out as a guy who can make some shots. He did the other night against Springfield. You know, obviously you take the opponent in mind, okay, but he's making open threes. And I don't necessarily think when they got him as a transfer from George Washington, I think he was viewed as a lot more of a pass first point guard, not necessarily somebody who could be a double digit scorer for them going forward, you know, but he's shown flashes of upside here and development, you know, as he enters deeper into his career with Bryant. I see two teams that, you know, really just need a statement out of this game. You know, Brown to say, yes, we are the team that we thought we were going to be, and, you know, we can get back on our feet here and start a little bit of a run into the end of non-conference and build some confidence into the Ivy League. And, you know, then Bryant, a team who has been looking for games like this. You know, Phil Martelli's talked about scheduling and how difficult it's been. And, you know, this is an opportunity to play a game close to home. You need to take advantage of it.
Yeah, big time. And you mentioned all the guys that were part of it last year. That's what makes a year like this in particular really fun. And the fact that these guys know each other, they played each other last year. So two squads that have some familiarity. And talking to Earl Timberlake the other day, he was saying, like, yeah, these are guys we play pickup with over the summer, too.
Yeah.
So I think it brings even more of an intensity and an emotion to a game like this, that these are guys that know each other. You know, they know their games. And it's one of those nights where I think after, you know, the heavyweight bout is over, you know, they'll shake hands, go their separate ways, and they're two programs that'll be like, you know, a month down the road, if Bryant goes up to Vermont and beats the Catamounts and Mike hears about it, he'll be like, oh, that's great to hear. Some of those players will be like, wow, they beat Vermont. Good for them. You know, he's a good player. He's a good player. Like, they just, there's a familiarity and a respect, I think, between these players and programs, which makes it even better when they face off because they want to beat the other one. They want the bragging rights. They want to be able to say when they do play over the summer pickup, well, you know, we beat you last year. He beat you pretty good. And he, even Earl talking about playing pickup, he said, you know, a lot of times it would be at the Chase Center. And he felt like last year that actually helped some of the guys that went to the Chase Center for Brown and beat them up. It was like they knew the gym a little bit, which was really interesting to hear. So I don't know what the pickup was like this summer. Maybe Bryant tried to go to the Pizzatola Center a little bit more. I don't keep tabs on that. But, you know, interesting to hear. But I like the hearing the mutual respect that these two programs have. And I think it makes it even better because it's not nameless and faceless. It's, oh, we know these guys. Oh, I played against this guy. Oh, I know that. I know this. It's cool.
And maybe they're at the Wanscook Boys and Girls Club instead. You know, no gyms this time, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the respect that the players have for each other. That extends to the coaches as well. You know, Mike Martin and Phil Martelli obviously crossed paths while Mike was an assistant at Penn under Glenn Miller. You know, Phil's dad, obviously, Phil Martelli Sr., the legendary coach at St. Joe's for 24 years. You know, they were both very involved in Coaches versus Cancer at that time, and that's something that Mike has extended to his work here at Brown off the court and does a great job, you know, with that charity, you know, is a really prominent member of that. He was honored before the season at the Coaches versus Cancer breakfast at Wanamoyset. I thought it was very fitting You know, that Mike would receive recognition for his charitable work in that area. You know, but he and Phil have known each other for a long time. You know, he mentioned it, his availability Thursday. He was really happy for Phil to get this opportunity to be a head coach for the first time. I'm sure he wouldn't look forward to congratulating Phil if Bryant happens to win on Friday night, but he'd do it with a handshake and through gritted teeth, I'm sure. Let's get into the game a little bit, Coit. You know, we touched on Brown struggling on offense a little bit to try to value the ball, their ball security, and what that's done to them defensively in terms of points allowed in transition. You know, Bryant seems to run most of their stuff through a couple dynamic players. Gross Bullock is a threat in all areas. Timberlake is a guy who's really difficult to keep away from the rim. He's a matchup problem at 6'6". He looks like a tight end out there. You know, I get major Mo Alie-Cox vibes when I watch him play.
Yeah.
He's a little smaller, a little more athletic, a little quicker, but physically just as imposing. You know, and I wonder who the guys might be who will make it up in the margins here. You know, is A.J. Lespert going to have a big game here? You know, is Aaron Cooley going to get off in this game? He had double figures last year for Brown. Are they going to get something from the two and three spots that they haven't? You know, in Bryant's case, is Tyler Brelsford going to continue this little breakout that he had against Springfield? Is he going to score a little bit? You know, will this be a game where Doug Eddard gets on the floor and makes some shots? He did against Springfield the other night. You know, is Bryant going to have a Rafael Pinzon or a Daniel Rivera? Are they going to be impactful with their athleticism? You know, the fact that they've played at St. John's and at St. Louis and, you know, won't necessarily be concerned about playing a team from the Ivy League. You know, I wonder, you know, just how those factors shake out over 40 minutes between these two teams.
Yeah, it role guys seem to shine in rivalry games, right? You know, there's somebody that you wouldn't expect that will step forward. I always think of, you know, not to get ahead of myself with PCURI, but the first time we saw Fats Russell pop at URI was in the PCURI game down there at the Ryan Center.
Yeah.
Huge performance. And so you have that. In this rivalry in particular, it was 2 years ago, I believe, at the Pizzitola Center when they had a guy named Chris Childs who, you know, really stepped forward, hit some shots in that gym. And, you know, it was just a breakout performance that night. So you never know. You never know who's going to step forward. You never know who's going to shine. So it'll be interesting to see. And if it is somebody for Brown, that's a huge sign because, as we've discussed with Brown, you know, searching for some things, you know, two and three spots, somebody steps forward there, you feel good about it because you say, okay, this is something they can build on here. If it's Bryant, then it's probably somebody that has already sort of flashed in terms of their role. The guys that they brought in their program, I think, have all had their moments so far. Rafael Pinzon has had his moments. You know, Daniel Rivera has had his moments. You know, it's not surprising because these are guys that came from power programs too. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how things shake out. You mentioned Earl Timberlake. That's a guy that his assists per game is up. I mean, he is doing a little bit more to help set other guys up offensively so far. That's been really impressive with Earl. And that's another dangerous element that, you know, Bryant can, you know, add in terms of what, you know, because, you know, with his size, his strength, you know, some of the things he can do in terms of being on the glass and scoring himself, but setting other guys up, that can really, really be dangerous. So that's something I'm watching in particular with Bryant going forward.
Yeah, it's a good point you make. Earl Timberlake, 23.2% assist rate so far. He leads Bryant. That's his career best by some distance. We get that from our friends at KenPom, who is an invaluable college basketball resource. And we see at KenPom going into this game that Brown is a two-point favorite. 74-72 predicted final. KenPom has the Bears winning this one. You know, I don't necessarily know how much home court factors into that. It's usually 3 or 4 points on a betting line. You know, Bryant is 211 and KenPom. Brown is 230. So maybe the Pizzitola Center advantage tips it to the Bears just a little bit in that way. So Brown favored by two, according to the computers. Cody, I know in your role as the sideline guy at Brown tonight, you might be compromised, might not be able to make a prediction. Is that true?
I'm gonna pull the Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day, and I will say I'll leave the prediction to you here, just because I am on the broadcast crew.
You're a prince. Thank you so much.
Soft. I'm soft. I know. I'm soft.
All right. Aside from a prediction, then, give me one factor that decides the game.
Ooh, one factor that decides the game.
Yes.
I would say transition play. If the Bears can slow down the Bulldogs and cut down on the turnovers, then that will slow them down. If the Bulldogs can get out in transition, I think they can be really dangerous and they can put points up quickly. So I guess you could say transition defense / turnovers for the Bears, transition offense for the Bulldogs. That's where I would point to and say that could be a huge factor in this one.
So the two spots on the stat sheet, points off turnovers and fast break points. Those are the two. You feel like the team that wins those two combined will win the game.
That's one of my big keys, I'd say. Yeah.
That's a good shout. I like that because that has been a major weakness for Brown so far. Mm-hmm. For me, I guess that leaves me to make a prediction. Thank you so much, Coy. You're such a prince. I'm going to take the Bears. I'm not going against Mike Martin's teams. Again, I've done it when they played URI and they've won. I've done it when they played at Bryant last year and they've won. I've heard it from Tamanang Cho and from Mike about making those predictions. That's not going to happen again. I'm going to say that I've learned my lesson and I will take Brown. I will hear it from Phil Martelli after this game if Bryant wins, and I will accept that from Phil. But it'll only be the first time Phil's given it to me and not the third time like Mike Martin would be giving it to me. So I will take the Bears in a tight one. I could see them getting right in this game. I could see them using this as an opportunity to press the reset button and say, hey, guys, look, this is a rivalry game. It's on our home floor. Let's put away what's happened so far. Let's tighten up and play some good basketball here. Let's show what we did against Colgate and against USC, because that's closer to our ceiling. And that's closer to who we expected to be coming into this year. And I think the Bears are capable of doing that in a home game against a rival. So give me Brown. Give me something tight. I don't think it'll get to the 70s. I think this game will be in the 60s. Give me like 67-65, 67-64, something in there. Something tight that maybe a couple free throws or a missed three at the end decide it. But I could see Brown winning a nail biter here.
Love it. Okay.
Our next game, Saturday night, 7:30 at Amica Mutual Pavilion. It's on Fox Sports 1. I think Brown Bryant's going to be on ESPN Plus, I would imagine.
Yes.
Providence and URI on Fox Sports 1, on WPRO as well. 7:30 tip at Amica Mutual Pavilion. That is going to be some crowd, Cody.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. The crowds at the Amp this year have been so, so good so far. Even on Black Friday against Lehigh, Tuesday night against Wagner, they've been so good. Now you're bringing in Rhodey.
Now you're bringing in Rhodey after you barely cracked 8,000 against Wagner, and you're probably going to sell this one out against Rhodey. So don't tell me that this game isn't a rivalry. Don't tell me that Providence fans look at this game and say, oh, it's just another game. It doesn't really matter. It matters. You're lying to yourselves. You are. If you're a URI fan, don't tell me, oh, I don't want to go up there. I don't want to go to the Amp. I don't like going downtown. I don't like the traffic. Nonsense. You'll be there too. And even if you don't think you can win the game, you have to see what happens this time. It's sort of that morbid curiosity that all New Englanders share. It's why we watched the Red Sox for all those years when they weren't winning, because we had to see how they were going to hurt us this time specifically. I know that's why I watched the last four games of the ALCS in 2004. And thankfully, my faith was rewarded in that series.
Amen. But I think this year, particularly with URI, this is a really great litmus test to see where you are.
Yes.
And what your progress has been.
Yes.
We've talked about them going to Mohegan and facing some adversity. Their latest win against Yale seemed to be a step in the right direction's progress. You've got a group that you can be excited about, scores a lot of points, finds a lot of ways to score. What can they do against a rival in an up game in the Big East. This is an interesting matchup. So Rhodey goes in there and plays well and, you know, comes away with a W, then you feel really good about where they're going, where they're headed. So this is, yeah, for Rhodey, I think this is a really exciting opportunity for this particular group.
It's an important point because it's not the first time that URI has stepped up in class. The two games at Mohegan did not go well. They lost to Northwestern. They lost to Washington State. Those were two very different contests. Northwestern, they're down 22-2 to start. Washington State, they got beat up over the last 10 minutes or so. Just couldn't finish on that night. But the next time they were exposed to better competition, that was against Yale. And you saw what URI did in that game. Down 18 late in the first half, they come back to win it 76-72. I think they really, a game like that really shows players, gives them tangible evidence of what the coaching staff is preaching, gives them tangible evidence of how hard you really need to play to beat an elite opponent. You look at URI that night, they're 23-3 off second chance points. That's a team that was determined.
Yeah.
That's a team that wasn't worried about Yale being the best rebounding team in the Ivy League year over year over year. That was a team that stuck its nose in there, even though they were behind big early and said, nope, not tonight, Yale. Not happening tonight. We're going to do something here. It's not going to be like those two games at Mohegan Sun. And that's a huge step in terms of growth in year two under Archie Miller.
And again, this is not nameless and faceless. You know, As much as you know that they're a power team, Northwestern, like playing up like that, this is a rivalry game. There is emotion there. These guys on campus at URI are hearing about it. You know, Zeke Montgomery said he was out to eat at like Roadhouse or something the other night, and somebody mentioned it to him. Oh, it's a big game, PC, huh? Big game. Like they're hearing that all week. Joseph Epelau joked that, you know, people asking me for tickets. Like there's more to this. There's more to this. There's more emotion. So embrace it and take those lessons you learned from the games you played at Mohegan and say, we can't start out 22-2 down. We can't do some of the things that helped us stumble that night. We need to learn from that. We need to be better. We need to hit things right from the jump. We need to be at our best. And Archie Miller sort of hinted at that as well. So not falling behind in the first half against a Yale, coming out and throwing the first punches. These are all things that they're going to want to show in a game like this. So, you know, and we'll truly see, you know, where they are in terms of, you know, their progress and learning from some of the things that they've been doing so far.
They've got a whale of an opponent here. Providence is right on schedule so far with respect to the teams that they've played. They split in Baja Mar. They lost Kansas State. They beat Georgia. They whacked Wisconsin in the Gavitt games. You know, they've beaten all the teams that they've scheduled their bye games at home pretty comfortably. Most recently was Lehigh and Wagner. Lehigh, obviously, you got Bryce Hopkins going, big double-double in that game. Josh Duro had 29 points in that game. The other night against Wagner, it was Ticket Gaines who got off, had 21 points, 7-for-10 from three. So you've seen signs from just about all the big players, all the players that Providence expected to be key parts of this. You've seen them all contribute in meaningful ways here early. And I think if you're Kim English, you're feeling really good about your rotation. You've seen a lot of your thoughts from the preseason validated here through six or seven games. I think you should feel really good about where your team sits going into a game that they have not lost downtown since the 2002-03 season. URI has had nightmares trying to go to downtown Providence and win that game, whether it's been the Civic Center, the Dunkin' Donuts Center, the Amica Mutual Pavilion. They have not had any luck. Their last trip there was 66-52 a couple of years ago. It was a game they were in until about the 6-8 minute mark of the second half. Providence pulled away at the end. Last year, they lost at home 88-74, a game where they just couldn't get enough stops, particularly in the front court. You know, Providence was able to get to the rim pretty much at will and score pretty easily at the Ryan Center. So Providence, I look at them and I think, you know, they're in great shape coming into this game. They should be in a great mindset, to borrow from Kim English, coming into this one.
Yeah, they're right on schedule, as you said. They're right on schedule. And you know, as we've mentioned, the two games being back home after the Bahamas trip, I think has really sort of reset some things. Bryce Hopkins has had two good performances, so his confidence is where it's at. You know, Josh Aduro has just been really, really solid for them. Ticket Gaines has the night he did against Wagner. I mean, you can go through the whole lineup and you can say, this guy's had this night, this guy's done this well, this guy can do this, this guy can do that. And I think the scary thing is, I think some of these guys can be better too. Like Jaden Pierre's been out with injury the last few games. You know, when they get Jaden back, how much can he add? And that's a guy that, you know, is going to have the ball in his hands a lot. You know, a guy that can, you know, rack up some of the assists and help with some of the assists that they already have without him on the floor, add him to the mix and look out. So the talent's there, the buy-in's there. They really have embraced Kim and the new coaching staff. They've embraced this new offense. They can score in bunches, you know, because the ball movement is crisp. It's pure. They share the basketball. It's, you know, and I think, you know, defensively, we're seeing some moments too. If you're Providence, you feel great about where you're at. And in an emotional environment, I think it's also good for Providence to go out and experience that again too. You won't see an emotional. I think it's good preparation for what you're going to see in Big East play. The emotion of it, the hype around it, the excitement at the end. Because you know, there's certain games, one in particular on Saturday, January 27th, that's going to have emotion like we've never seen before.
What happens so, that night, Coy?
I think you know. I think everybody knows. So having, you know, a bit of a buzz in a crowd like this, I think is a really, really good thing for the players. They sort of get a taste of, well, this is what it's going to be like when we get to conference play and Marquette, UConn, Creighton, Villanova, St. John's, Georgetown are coming in to play against us. It's a great taste for them.
Georgetown, coached by Ed Cooley, who publicly waffled about whether or not this was a rivalry. Ed seeking to downplay it, I think, because he knew that most of the time he was here, URI wasn't necessarily that great, and losing to them would have been considered significant.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have minded losing to Dan Hurley in those 2 years where they made the NCAA tournament. Not to say he wouldn't have minded it, but it certainly wouldn't have hurt Providence.
Yeah.
Ed's main goal was to make it to the NCAA tournament. He said as much. He declined to schedule the game 1 year. I'm thankful to Steve Napolillo and Thor Bjorn, the two athletic directors at Providence and URI, for signing a 10-year contract to continue this game and realizing that it is important. And, you know, for Providence, it's important. It's part of their marketing campaign. You know, it's certainly a game that they sell tickets around. Their tiered pricing, URI's in the top tier. You know, right up there with all their best Big East games. For URI, it's really important to get a home game of PC's caliber in a given year. There aren't Big East teams who are in a big rush to come to the Ryan Center. Providence gives you an in-state opponent every other year, chance for a quality win in terms of the NCAA net rankings. There's great value in that for URI when they ultimately get back to a point where they are contending for March. So it makes sense in both ways. Archie Miller has coached in this game once last year, lost it. Kim English will make his debut, but he has a very good resource for this one in Rick Barnes, former assistant coach on Rick's staff at Tennessee, you know, followed in Rick's footsteps at George Mason and now at Providence. He said the other day that he'd spoken to Rick Barnes about what this game is going to be like. And I took a little trip down memory lane, the Rick Barnes games, the six times he coached in this rivalry in the late 80s and early 90s. He was 4-2. First five games were decided by 14 points total. He won three of those.
Wow. His
third year featured a fight that was started when Corey Floyd Sr. sucker punched Jeff Kent.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you end up with Al Skinner riding on Ken McDonald's back into the Friar student section trying to break it up. You got Marvin Sadler and Jeff Kent exchanging punches along the baseline. And then he had a putback by Marquise Bragg on an Eric Murdoch miss that ultimately won the game for Providence in the final seconds. One of the more legendary chapters in the rivalry, that visual, the great montage put together that's on YouTube, put out by Cox and Yearview, our buddy Corey O'Leary, pulling those highlights. You know, it's a great watch if you get a chance to go back, you know, into the history of the rivalry, the 80s and the 90s and into the 2000s. You know, it gives you an idea of the heat that this game can generate when both teams are good and both teams are relevant. And, you know, it's certainly a point that we would like to see in the coming years. You know, it's something that we felt in 17 and in 18 when you or I was back in contending at the top of the A-10.
Yeah, for sure. And there are great players on both sides. Both teams are competing for the NCAA tournament. Yeah, and I think, you know, you have certain years. Programs are at different crossroads, different points. But, you know, this year I think is intriguing because I think you know where Providence is at. You're competing to get to the NCAA tournament. You know, high-end talent there. I think the intrigue probably lies around URI and where they're at. And this new squad has been exciting, refreshing, you know, fun to watch so far. It's been fun to see their progress and what they've been able to, the lessons they've already learned so far. So to see them in this game, it's interesting to me. And, you know, in the coming years, you know, however this game goes this year, I think in the coming years, we're trending toward that time where both PC and URI are, you know, competing toward the top of their league and competing for NCAA tournament spots. And, you know, that's fun. That's fun. And it's just, I think my favorite quote of the week, first of all, you're talking about just environments and whatnot. Let's not forget, last year at the Ryan Center, Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry are walking around the Ryan Center.
That's right.
With Anthony Carter. Like that was cool, man. That was really cool.
Jimmy Butler, that coat, outstanding.
Outstanding. We're sitting there at the media table and we're like, who's this guy walking by in a fur coat? Oh my God, that's Jimmy Butler. Yeah. I'm like, what? What is he doing here?
Oh yeah.
It was great. It's great. And they wanted to obviously come and see Devin, which was great. But I think they felt that environment too. They felt, oh, it's a cool place to be. Watch some hoops. Like that's really cool. And Devin said as much that he embraced it too. He was like, yeah, I wanted to show Dad, hey Dad, come to more games, will you? You know, this is great.
Right.
You know, so that was really cool. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting time for these, you know, these two programs, where they're at and, you know, where they can go from here, what this can do for URI, what this can do for PC, just adding some of the emotion. And I was going to say my favorite quote of the week, I think so far, was just Archie Miller. And already he's going into his second time coaching in this game. And already he understands, living in the state now for more than a year, you drive 20 minutes somewhere and you cross paths with the people in this state that have different allegiances. Right. He goes to Dunkin' Donuts in the morning and maybe he runs into some Friar fan that says, hey, great to see you doing well. Hope you lose on Saturday. Like that's cool. That's cool. It's unique in a small state like this, that it doesn't take much to run into somebody that's got the different allegiances. So that's pretty cool. And it's a great time for everybody to kind of go at it, like Archie said, and then they go their separate ways. But for this week, these two programs, they clash, and it's pretty cool, the buzz that's around it.
So in my mind, you go into this game and it's on Providence's racket, so to speak. If they play well, they win the game because they do have better players. They're further along at this point. They've been an NCAA team more recently. They've had guys who've tasted that environment, certainly. You know, I look at URI, how they can counter the Friars. Do they use a collection of players on Aduro who worked them twice last year with George Mason? Is it going to be some combination of Joseph Atbelau, Jeremy Femina, Tyson Brown? You know, are they going to give him 15 fouls? How do you defend Bryce Hopkins and Ticket Gaines? Which guy does Zeke Montgomery get? Does he wind up with Gaines? I think he probably does because he's a little bit more perimeter oriented. You probably have Brown on Bryce Hopkins to start. What happens at point guard? Does Jaden Pierre play in this game? He warmed up before the Wagner game the other night. He seems closer. Providence has a high profile game next week with Oklahoma as part of the Big East Big 12 battle. I would imagine they would certainly need Pierre to win that one on the road in Norman. Does Cam English say, let's give him a fourth game off? Garway Duwall's enough here. Devin Carter's enough here. Corey Floyd Jr. is enough here. We'll be able to figure it out in the backcourt against Louis Courtwright and Jaden House. And maybe a dash of Cam Estevez there. But in my mind, I think, you know, Providence, if they play well, I think they win the game. You know, we go back to our friends at KenPom. Got Providence is a 14-point favorite in this game, 79-65 final. I think that's a little wide, personally. I could see this game playing out like your eyes last trip to the AMP, where it was a 6-8-point game in the last 6 minutes or so. I could see Providence winning by 8-10. I don't necessarily know if they cover. That's going to depend on free throws late and whether or not URI can knock in a couple three-pointers late, I think. But ultimately, I think if Providence plays well, they win the game. I think they have better players. I think they're a little bit further along at this point. But coming off Yale, I feel much more encouraged that URI can be competitive in this game, you know, compared to what we might have seen at Mohegan Sun.
And I think, well, so first of all, if it is a 14-point result, Providence is hitting 5 or 6 free throws near the end and just padding it. You know, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a tough, competitive game. So Providence, I think, will have the lead, but kind of hang on to it. Rhodey will hang around, 6-8-point game. And then, you know, late, maybe they're fouling, getting to the free throw line, and then they extend it, whatever. But I think it's going to be that type of game. I think it's going to be a collective effort with the Rams and trying to slow things down here, particularly in the front court. Oduro has been so good recently, so good, and he is a handful, just how good he is. So, yeah, collective effort. Archie Miller knows that his team needs to crash the glass. They need to get on the boards. If they can do that, it takes away any extra opportunities that the Friars might have. You don't want to give that to, you know, a team that can be potent offensively in a lot of different ways. Last year, I think Devin Carter had a day where he was running all over the floor, coming up with steals, like affecting the game that way with how good he is defensively. I could see him putting his stamp on the game again. You got to be careful and value the basketball in a game like this, because a guy like Devin will pounce on any turnovers, any mistakes that you make there. So, yeah, it'll be up to the guards to sort of settle things down. It's intriguing. It's intriguing. I'm interested to see how URI does in this environment. But, we talk about all the different players that they've had that have, you know, shown their flashes so far this season. And yeah, Jaden House is an interesting one in this game. Really interesting. Like, what does Providence do to, you know, really get after him, slow him down, make sure that he doesn't get hot in an arena like this? And particularly, you know, if they're going to have Jaden Pierre, if they're not going to have Jaden Pierre, like, defensively, how do they line things up there? That's really interesting to me. I think ever since that 8-10 player of the week, I think teams have looked at it, said Jaden's number one on the scouting report in terms of offense. This guy can really be a scorer. I'm sure Providence is looking at it too. How do they combat that? That'll be interesting to see.
You're going to sick Devin Carter on him. That's what
probably
you're gonna do.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, that's the most logical thing, right?
Providence has the luxury of having one of the best backcourt defenders, not only in their conference, but, you know, just about anywhere you want to find in right. Devin Carter. He's the guy who's going to get that assignment.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's going to try to take House away. I certainly think you saw in the second half against Yale, and Archie Miller alluded to it, House made some more toughness plays. He had a big finish through contact late that snapped a 70-70 tie against Yale. He needs to find ways to adjust now, because as you mentioned, teams are going to play him a certain way, and now you need to find a counter if you're Jaden House. And, you know, all great scorers do. I mean, the guy is 17 points a game at High Point last year. It's not because every team defended him the same way throughout the whole season. Right. This is just a different level, and he's going to need to find his way here. I look at that game, and I think, you know, can you get to the point where you survive the first 8 to 12 minutes if you're URI? Because I think that's where Wisconsin got themselves in trouble, and it's something that Archie Miller alluded to during his availability. We need to be solid the first couple media timeouts. We can't come out, be in a big deficit, launch a bunch of quick threes, turn the ball over, get intimidated by the environment. You let that crowd get going, and all of a sudden it snows on you and you're down double digits midway through the first half and you're not coming back. You're just not. Not in that nope. environment, not against that team, not with the talent discrepancy that you still have, not with the confidence discrepancy that you still have at this point. So the start's critical for URI. If they're in the game midway through the first half, they'll stay there for most of it.
That's a win, yeah. Absolutely. You
know, unless they really go cold offensively or, you know, we see some sort of drought from the field. You know, if they're in it the first 10, 12 minutes, they'll be in it deep into the second half. You know, I feel like they'll make it a really competitive spectacle.
And I think last year was a breakout game for Joseph Atbelau with Rhodey. And so, you know, where is he health-wise? He just got back on the floor. What can he add? He's a guy that can shoot as a big man. You know, so can he stretch the floor a little bit, maybe open some things up, you know, earn some respect there from the Providence defense? That's another thing I'm sort of watching is, you know, how far along is Belau? How much can he help them? Because last year, he certainly put his own stamp on the game.
All right, so, Coit, I got Providence. I'm going to say 78-68.
Okay.
I'll go with the Friars. They will win. They will not cover.
Yeah, I had like, 81-69 in my head. That's what popped into my head. Friars win 81-69. Like I said, few late free throws. Rams are right there in it. I think both teams will score because they can. Could go lower because, you know, maybe these two teams really dig in defensively, get after each other. The emotion of the environment kind of contributes to that too. But yeah, 81-69, Friars win this game, but it'll be competitive. It'll be entertaining.
Most importantly, folks, we would encourage you to get out to at least one of these games if you can, if not both. We would encourage you to embrace them because they are uniquely ours in that way. You know, a lot of other states, you see schools avoid each other and they don't want to play each other and they don't want to schedule each other. And, you know, all you hear is complaining and the straw man argument, oh, if we played you last year, we would have beat you. Or, you know, if you put us on the schedule next year, we would have beat you or whatever else. It's great that we get to settle that on the floor. And it's unique that we get to do it in two consecutive nights. I think that makes it fun. I know it certainly makes it fun for me. And it's part of the reason why we love having the jobs that we do. Coit, you got anything else?
No, amen. Look forward to this weekend. Watch Brown Bryan on ESPN Plus tonight. I'll be on the sideline. Looking forward to it. Watch ABC6 for all the highlights the next two nights. Read Bill in the Providence Journal. And get out there, watch these games, support these programs. It's going to be really fun.
As always, folks, thank you all for listening. Enjoy the games. Coity, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.